Linda, is the title of that one, By His Stripes We Are Healed, or He Was Wounded for?
It's The Healer.
The Healer. You know what? I'm fairly confident these hymn writers are changing up titles on me. No kidding, you can go from a Baptist hymn book to a Methodist hymn book and have the same song called something different. Yeah, you can, so. They did, didn't they? Man, good night. You are exactly right. And every time I think I've got it down, I am quickly corrected. Is that what you deal with in your life sometimes? Would you take your Bible this morning? I want to talk about the believer's strength. And so we're going to go over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, the believer's strength. And when you are there, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. Romans chapter 5. And we're not going to read the entire chapter. We're going to start out in verse 6. Excuse me. Romans 5, 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, peradventure, or perhaps, yet perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now go down to verse number 12 for time's sake. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And we'll skip one more time down to verse number 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, that's Adam, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, that's Adam. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification, and that's Christ. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance in grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Okay, so the past 3 weeks, I've had a lot of time on the road, more than normal, and I've had a lot of time to think. And so on one day, I was listening to one of my favorite Bible teaching programs on the radio, and the announcer began to mention how children and young adults these days have such a challenge if they desire to live a sincere Christian life. And there's a lot of truth in that. These days, it's even hard to enjoy a movie without our values taking a hit. Valerie and I rented a movie on satellite not long ago, and it was PG, I believe PG-13. So, and it was something we had seen the reviews for, and we both had wanted to see. PG-13 shouldn't be too bad. The movie was laced with profanity from start to finish. The sexual innuendos and meanings was full all throughout the movie. God's name was used in just about every context except in a respectful and an honorable one. And so I was reminded once again how difficult it is for the child of God to mentally remain pure and faithful and true when there's so much around in the world that can tear us apart from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it doesn't just go for children and young adults. Seniors and adults have that same problem in life. We all have that tendency to get into something or some action or say something or think in some way that leads us away from the Savior. Everyone in this room has a weakness in some way, and I don't know what yours is. We all have our weak spot. we can all venture off and get off the path and do things or think things or I call it stinking thinking. I think I got that from Brother Strunk long, long time ago. I'm not sure about that. Maybe from my dad. Stinking thinking. That's what we do sometimes as Christians. We just start thinking crazy. So how do you remain faithful and true to God? Is it possible to live in this world and yet be strong and not take part of what is out there? Jesus himself related how difficult it was to live in this world and not be affected. When talking about the parable of the seed that was sown among the weeds and that got choked out, he says in Mark chapter 4, he says, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the world, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches," and listen to this, "and the lust of other things entering in." So we think of the word lust and we automatically think of sexual lust, but there's all kinds of lust out there for the child of God, things that are entering our mind and our heart that shouldn't be there. They choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. The Apostle Paul tells us that we should renew our mind and that's so that we will not be conformed to this world and that we can approve what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. John tells us that we live in a world, but we shouldn't be a part of the world because in the world, there's the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And that's not of the Father, but of the world. And so it seems in these verses that although it's a challenge to live in this world and not be affected, it's definitely possible for the child of God to do just that. And so I want to know how. Why is it such a struggle to live as a Christian in this world? Let's look back in our text at verse number 12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Now, we've looked at the book of Romans several times, and Brother Chris and Brother David have preached some great messages and taught some great lessons on it. But one of the first things that we've seen in Romans chapter 5 in the past is that when we look at these verses, we see that sin entered into the world through one man, and that man was who? Adam. Yeah. And when he partook of that fruit, it was a direct violation of God's command. And we also saw that it was just not Adam, but it was the entire humanity as well that did so. We may not like that fact, but that is the case. In the very Genesis account of creation, the Bible says, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And in the Hebrew, I don't know Hebrew, but like Brother Chris says, I have books written by people who do. And in the Hebrew, that breath of life is plural, breath of lives. When God did that into Adam and Eve, mankind was born, humanity was born. And so all men have sinned. We all have that stinking thinking nature that pops into our head. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So that's the first thing that we saw. Inherently, there's no good here. There's no good here. I was waiting for Valerie to say amen. There's no good right here in this heart. But you know what? There's no good in any person's heart. The only good that we have is the good and the righteousness if we are a child of God and have accepted His grace. As I was saying that, I'm sorry, I was distracted. My mind went to my Uncle Archie, who was probably the best man that you could ever meet. I'm serious. You couldn't find a man that's better than Uncle Archie. But he had so much pride in his life about that goodness. And he did not see how he needed anything from God, anything from Jesus Christ. But he was a good man. In God's ruler, in God's standard of goodness and righteousness, all those great acts and good acts and loving acts that Archie did in his life are made nil because of his pride. He hasn't submitted himself and placed his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's not there naturally. So the first thing that we see is when Adam sinned, and we have that nature today. It's standing right here on this stage. And the second thing that we see is what it says in the last part of that verse. in verse 12, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, when you're talking about death, and you know this because we've talked about this many times, there are three deaths in the Bible. The first one is the one that you and I know about, physical death. We're all too knowledgeable about that. We've been affected by that. Concerning the believer, Paul said, we're always confident knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And then a couple of verses later, he gives us the flip side of that in 2 Corinthians 5. He says, we're confident and willing rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. That's a death. That's a separation. That tells us that when we're alive, our soul is at home in this body. And when we die as a child of God, our soul is absent from the body, but we're present with the Lord. And the body returns to the dust from which it came, which we saw in Genesis chapter 3. The dust of the ground. And the physical death is nothing that we can avoid. It's nothing that we can bypass. And someday it'll be a good thing when we're able to take this, as the Apostle Paul says, this corruption and put on incorruption. When we go and we live for Him, live with Him forevermore. And that's a great comfort to the believer that all this is temporary, all of this stuff. That was the physical death. That's death number one. The second death in the Bible is called the eternal second death, and it's for unbelievers. It's for the lost man. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin without the atoning work of Jesus Christ is eternal separation from God. No chance anymore once it starts. This death is the separation of the entire man, the body, the soul, the heart, and the spirit from God, and it's into the eternal lake of fire for all eternity. So that's the second death. So we've got the physical death and the eternal separation, the second death of the lost man from God. Well, the third death is a spiritual death. Spiritual death happened in the Garden of Eden. That's the one we've been talking about. Adam partook of that apple. Adam partook of that sin, and he experienced separation, not only from the Garden of Eden, but he experienced separation from God. It's the state into which all people are born. It's the result of mankind's sin, and it's what we live with today, a spiritual death. This body is not redeemed. My soul is. And someday I'll have a new and glorified body. But this body is not redeemed, and it's because of that spiritual death. When the Spirit of God departed from man, he was immediately left to his own to determine his own goodness. He was immediately left to do whatever. He was left to himself. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be left to myself because there's no good there. And the problem with that is this right here. When we're left to ourselves, we're susceptible to Satan's influences and his power. When we're separated from the Spirit of God, we're unable to be perfect or good or affected by God's Spirit. Job 14, verse 4 says, who can bring a clean thing from an unclean? Not one. Psalm 51, verse 5 says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. That just means he was born with a sinful nature. He was born messed up. John 3:6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Now, if you think that's not fair, consider this right here. Adam was born in a perfect state, and he had the choice to remain in that perfect state and in fellowship with God and be faithful and true to God, or he had the choice to disobey God, which he did, and cross over into an imperfect state. And you and I are just the opposite. We're born in an imperfect state. And we've got the option as a child of God. When we become a child of God, we take that option of crossing over into a perfect state. Not all the way perfect, are we? This body's not perfect. I don't think perfect. I don't talk perfect. And I make imperfect decisions. And I'll continue to do that until you lay me 6 feet under the ground. But we're born into this imperfect state, and we have the option of having the perfect Holy Spirit of God being renewed in our life at the time of salvation. And when we do that, the Spirit of God moves back in and He starts taking residence in our soul and He starts affecting us, and that's when we start becoming more like Him. When he talks to us, and when we read His Word and we see what we need to correct, and when we humble ourselves to Him. Now, we all know that's not the end of the story, do we? If we had time to read the book of Romans, we'd see that when you keep reading, you see that Christ has made it possible for every person to have the power of the Holy Spirit living within them. And you might be thinking, well, if the Holy Spirit is renewed in us, because, you know, when we're saved, we're not the one that's renewed. The Holy Spirit is renewed in us. And it gives us this power to become more like Christ. You might be thinking, well, if the Holy Spirit is renewed, then why aren't we perfect? Well, once again, that's because when we got saved, it was our soul and our spirit, not our body. Our body didn't get saved. Our body is still carrying around all that junk, that old nature that we have, that we were born with. So how does this help us live right in a wrong world? How do we successfully struggle as a child of God? How do we successfully live and not struggle as a child of God, rather? Read verse number 15. Now, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Now, we don't talk that way, so it's a little bit harder to understand for us today. Not as, so also is used many times in the book of Romans. It was one of Paul's favorite little phrase, and he would use it to do a contrast, okay? Both a contrast and a likeness in the same sentence. And I'm going to give you everything in a nutshell. If you'll just give me just a second here to put my thoughts together. When we read those opening verses, we went real slow for a reason. In Adam we sinned. Amen? No? In Adam we sinned? Okay. You got me worried there. In Christ we became alive. We became alive off of His actions, just like we became dead off of Adam's actions. Amen? The action, the reach, was the same. Adam affected Treasure and Royce and Dwayne. And guess what? Christ affected Royce and Treasure and Dwayne. The reach was the same, okay? But the results were far different. You say, where are you going with that? Well, we're talking about struggling and we're talking about sin. And so if we continue in that verse, it says, for if through the offense of one many be dead, Adam. And don't pass up these next two words, because they're really important. Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which by one man, Jesus Christ, and don't pass up these next two words, hath abounded. Jim, I don't know about you, but I am so glad for four words in that verse right there. Much more hath abounded. Now, it would be a little bit different if that verse said, well, Dwayne, what Christ did for you, He's got just enough. But it doesn't say that, Stacy, does it? It says much more the grace of God. Whatever power Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden gave me to sin, God's grace gives me much more not to sin. And it hath abounded unto many. That many doesn't mean many more, but many on a greater scale. Many, as in the effect is so much, so much, much more. That word if there means since. And that changes it up a little bit, okay? So let's read it knowing that right there. For if, or for since, through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Unto many carries with it the idea of all of humanity. All of humanity, that includes black and white and red and yellow and heavy set, not heavy set, you know. I mean, it covers us all. Hath abounded unto all of humanity. The grace of God brings life to the person, and it's abundant. And that abundance gives us power, and it gives us strength, and it's powerful. Far more power than the sin of Adam gave us power to sin. So, don't pass up this very important little summary here. Yes, I do sin. And don't say amen to that, okay? I do sin. I sin because I live in this sinful body that is controlled by this sinful mind, and it's governed by this sinful heart. There we go. That's our verse again. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. For the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's my theme verse right there. Isn't it yours? You have the best intentions of living a life that's pleasing to the Lord, and you get a surprise, just like the Apostle Paul in Romans 7. Paul says, man, I strive to do good. And lo and behold, I wake up one day and find myself doing just the opposite of what I shouldn't be doing, what I should be doing, the very opposite. So yes, I do sin. And I sin because of this awful, sinful nature that I've got living within me. But here's the best part. And thank God it doesn't end right there. The most beautiful part is the last part of that verse. The gift by grace hath abounded. Not just enough, or not just a corresponding amount, but those words have the connotation of a more than sufficient, overflowing supply, plenty, great quantity, a very prevalent amount, and an overpowering source of strength. So yes, I do sin, and I sin because I live in this sinful body, but listen to this. The power of my sinful nature is nowhere near as powerful as God's grace. That's the beauty of this right here. This week is revival. And what you and I have to remember, in order to be revived by God, we have to be controlled by His Spirit. On our Wednesday night study, Brother Chris has said for the past two nights, something that I knew, but I never really thought of. It's about John the Baptist, you know, proclaiming the way of Jesus Christ in the wilderness. And one of the, you know, things about John the Baptist's ministry that Brother Chris brought out was that John the Baptist, his ministry was in the wilderness, and people came to him. They came to the wilderness, and people were baptized. We're talking about stubborn Jews who did not believe in the Messiah, who did not believe in Jesus Christ. They were self-righteous. They thought they could do their little rules and find their own way to heaven. Those people, the way it's worded, many of them were saved and were baptized. And Brother Chris brought out that John the Baptist, if you read the account of his birth and what it says, I believe in Mark chapter 2 is where it was. He was filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb. And so God's Spirit was with him, and he had power in his life. And so when he started preaching and heralding the way that Jesus Christ was coming, there were results. And so I was thinking back there 2 weeks ago on a Wednesday night, you know, I want to be that man. Now, I'm not preaching in a wilderness. I'm doing what I do, but I want to do it with God's power. And in order to do that, I need to be revived. I need His Spirit upon my life. I need His power in my life. I want things to happen, not for me to say that, hey, this happened under me, but I want to be the man that God considers worthy to be used, worthy to bring honor and glory to His name. About 44 years ago, a man wrote a book by the name of Building Steadfast Christians. And he said this right here, grace is a favor from God toward man which comes from His attribute of love and which is given without demand or expectation of return. It is a loving favor toward man which he has not earned, deserved, or merited in any way. What you and I have to determine is that we cannot work for this. We do not deserve this. We cannot do anything to get the power of to work to earn the power of the Holy Spirit, but He gives it to us when we submit ourselves to Him, when we have a sincere heart before Him. And when we do that, what we get in return is, like our text says, not just enough to get through the day. Not just enough. Oh, I was in this situation and God gave me just enough to get through and not and make a right decision. No. He gave you an ever abounding source of supply of His strength and His power. So, the things in my life that I do and that I think and that I get in trouble over and that take me away from the Lord, I've got to realize, not only is there another way, but there's an abundant way. There's so much power to do something else, and it's all because of God's grace. Dr. Lowry gives this example in his book, and I want to read it to you because I thought it was pretty cool. Let's suppose that a man named Billy Burpo, that's a silly name, isn't it, Linda? Let's suppose that a man named Billy Burpo lived in a certain community, and every time he saw a certain minister of the gospel, he threw bricks at him. Didn't like him. He bounced rocks off of his head and mistreated him in general. However, the minister never fought back nor endeavored to retaliate in any way. Billy Burpo continued these actions until one day the minister caught Billy standing in a corner with his back to a dark alley. The minister walked around and quietly sneaked his way up the alley until he was immediately behind Billy. Still with me? Say amen. Amen. Gotta wake you up. To the minister's right, he looked down, and there on the ground was a 2x4 about 5 feet long. Now, what Billy deserved was a good old-fashioned clobbering on the head. You know that. That's what Billy deserved. But instead of giving Billy what he deserved, the minister took out his billfold. And from his billfold, he drew a $1,000 bill. Now, when I read that story, I wanted to know where this guy pastored. Okay, carrying around a $1,000 bill. Instead of clobbering Billy and giving Billy what he deserved, he took out a $1,000 bill and he walked up behind Billy. And he threw his arms around Billy and with great force held his arms down to his side so Billy couldn't get out and hit him in any way. And while holding Billy in that position, the minister held the $1,000 bill out in front of Billy and said, "Billy, here, I want to give this to you as a gift. And even more than that, I want you to know I love you." That's grace. And that's what Jesus Christ did for you and for me. He said, he looked down and he saw the struggle that Royce and Dwayne and Susan and Seal and Pat were going to have living in this old nasty world. He saw that struggle that was happening, that was going to happen, and he didn't just give us a little bit of power to resist it. He said, "No, Linda, I'm going to give you an ever abundance of power. I'm going to give you the ability to live by my Spirit and be controlled by my Spirit so you can be successful as a child of God and have a close relationship with me and be able to say no to those things which are going to take you away from me." And it's a much more type of power. Isn't that great? That's what I get from Romans chapter 5. Elbert, this is a nasty world. You don't got to do anything. Flip on the TV, go outside, go to the store. I don't care what you do. You can find yourself in compromising situations. Amen? Amen. Now, granted, when we were younger, maybe it happened more, granted. But I'm not just talking about temptation. I'm talking about attitudes. I'm talking about meanness. I'm talking about gossip and sometimes we have an opportunity to comment on things as a child of God in the church family. And sometimes, you know what I'm talking about here, but sometimes we comment less than positive. You know, we hear something and it's the truth, but instead of being silent or saying something that's going to honor the Lord in some way, we use that moment of opportunity to downgrade somebody or criticize somebody. I tell you what, none of us have the ability to criticize too much because we're all the same. And we do different things and we say different things, but we have the potential to be the same as a human being. And so what God does, He looks down and He doesn't just get us enough to get through. He doesn't give us enough just to be okay. No, He looks down at us and He says, I'm going to give you this power. You don't have to do this. You don't have to think that way. You say, well, how does He do that? Well, it's pretty simple. He does it through His Word. He does it when we're on our knees. And He does it... I'm not making this one up either. He does it in church. There's a special dynamic. Read God's Word. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. There's a special dynamic when Dwayne comes to this place that he's chosen to be in, that God's brought me to. There's a special dynamic. There's a special power when God's people get together and they submit themselves to the authority of God's Word under God's man. And if you don't like that, you have to ignore an awful lot of scriptures. An awful lot of scriptures. There's a special power here too, not just when I'm at home in my closet reading the Word and not only when I'm on my knees, there's a special power there, but there's a special power when we're together. And Hebrews tells us to not forsake that, to be there. And we can't always be there. Sometimes you got to work and sometimes you're laid up and you're sick, but overall, we strive to be a part of God's place because there's a special power. There's a special dynamic here. One last statement, then I'll go. While we were eating a bite yesterday evening, we flipped on the TV and there was the old movie from the 80s, The Karate Kid, the original one, you know? Have you seen that before? The Karate Kid? Okay. Well, Mr. Miyagi is the trainer, okay? And Daniel is the young boy learning karate. And Mr. Miyagi walks over to him. He said something which stuck with me last night, and I woke up thinking about it. He says, he's talking about balance. Okay, balance, how they balance on their legs, and, you know, they learn how to do that so they're skillful in karate. Mr. Miyagi walks over to the yellow car that Daniel's in, and he says, Danielson, balance, not just for karate. Balance. For life. And I thought, hey, you know what? That's good for the child of God. We need a balance in our life. We're down here in the midst of all this sin and nasty thinking and stinking thinking and hatefulness and jealousy and this and that and all this. We're down here. We need some balance with the power of God's Spirit. We need time on our knees. Or if you got bad knees, then in a spirit of being on your knees. We need time together in God's house. We need time in the Word of God, submitting ourselves to His Word. And when we do that, God gives us not just enough power to get through the day. He gives us an overabundant, overwhelming source of supply of His strength. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you.